you think about this question, what kind of physical health would you have if it were the same as your spiritual health? In the passage in 3 John chapter 1, only just one chapter in 3 John, but verse 2, John expresses his concern for Gaius' physical well-being, and implied in this is the excellent status of Gaius' spiritual well-being. Notice the way the text reads. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So John compares the spiritual and physical health of Gaius. Spiritual vitality and strength are attained only through effort, just like physical health requires a proactive approach to wellness. We understand that. To be in good condition physically requires a great deal of effort. To be in good physical health requires us to maintain a good relationship with a good physician and to have examinations, and when medications are recommended, we take those medications in the manner in which they are prescribed so that our physical health can be maintained. So we understand that physical health involves effort on our part. Same thing is true in regard to spiritual health. What's required of us to maintain a good level of spiritual health? That's what we want to look at in our study this morning. Many years ago, I don't think you probably could find one on a physician's desk now, but they used to have a PDR book called a physician's desk reference. And they looked things up in that book. Now, you look it up on the computer. But they had a physician's desk reference. Today, we have a physician's desk reference. We know that to be the Bible, the Word of God. So we want to look at this great physician's desk reference, if you please, to see if we can come up with a prescription for spiritual health. A prescription for spiritual health. John expresses a desire for Gaius to prosper in physical health just as his soul was prospering. And so I ask the question again. What kind of physical health would I have? What kind would you have if it were the same as my spiritual health? Let me suggest some things to you for your consideration regarding what's required to have good spiritual health. Just as with physical health, there needs to be a strong immune system. This obviously is needed to ward off disease. We are in the midst of a worldwide pandemic known as the coronavirus or COVID-19. People are being infected in horrendous rates all over this country and throughout the world. When they're around someone who has the disease, has the virus, they stand a good chance of being infected. But there are those who have a strong immune system that do not contract the disease. Without a healthy immune system, relatively small threats can be very deadly. Years ago, there was a little boy who was referred to as the Bubble Boy. He lived in some sort of plastic bubble-like thing because his immune system was such that any little disease or any cold or anything that someone had, he contracted because he basically had no immune system. And there are many people who are immunocompromised in the physical realm. But what about from a spiritual standpoint? How strong is our ability to withstand threats that assail us from a spiritual standpoint? The temptations that come upon us on a regular basis. I can tell you from a personal standpoint, Sometimes it's very difficult to deal with temptations that are presented to us. Then there's also false teaching that is so rampant in our society and all over the world that we're assailed with on a regular basis. And we talked in our Bible class this morning about persecution. Do we have enough spiritual strength to endure whatever may come our way, to face the inevitable? Temptation and spiritual hardships are inevitable. We understand that. To face these, we really can't live in a bubble. Going out of the world to avoid all contact with temptation is an impossibility. John 17 and verse 15, there the text says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Jesus, about his disciples, said, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from evil. We can't leave the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. Paul recognized that we cannot avoid all contact with sinful people. In order to do that, we'd have to just leave the world. And that can't be done. Of course, John chapter 5, verse 18, John said, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Notice that phrase, keepeth himself. That suggests some personal responsibility on our part to do what we can to avoid temptation. Now, we can't leave the world, but we can use our abilities to read and study and meditate on God's Word, make it a part of our lives, and so we can form that strong immune system. And in doing so, we'll be able to ward off those things that assail us from a spiritual standpoint. We can take heed lest we fall. As the Apostle Paul pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In James chapter 4 verse 7, James says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. It takes dedicated effort to resist the devil. And we have to pay attention to our own lives. Take heed. That means pay attention, lest we fall. We can indeed live circumspectly, as Paul writes about it in Ephesians chapter 5, there at verse 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means looking all around, being observant. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In regard to this current pandemic, the authorities have warned us that we need to be aware. Certain precautions must be taken. Obviously, we can't just go out somewhere and my mama used to say, get in a cave somewhere and then pull it in after us. We can't isolate ourselves like that, but we can take some precautions that are suggested. Same thing is true in the spiritual realm. We have to pay attention and look around us. Redeeming the time, that means making good use of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. And so, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so we can withstand the wiles of the devil, as Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have an armor that's suggested by God. Not suggested, but commanded, I should say, I guess. To put on. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Have your loins girded about the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These elements we are to adorn ourselves with so that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. This is the kind of immune system that we need and we must have to ward off the disease of sin. Another prescription for spiritual health is something we don't like. I know I don't. Regular exercise. I try to get some exercise. I looked at my little watch the other day. I had walked 12,000 steps. Not bad, I guess, for an old man, but I try to get some exercise in every day. Maybe not as much as I need to, but I try to get some because I know that I need some regular exercise. Because, you see, we thrive only when we are active. And the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. Just as surely as we need to be active physically for good physical health, we need to be active spiritually for good spiritual health. In Hebrews the 6th chapter, there beginning of verse 11, there the writer says, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful." That word slothful just means lazy. Don't be lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. We have to put forth some effort to do what we know that we need to do. Spiritual activity is absolutely necessary. Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Created unto good works. That's what we're all about. Doing what the Lord wants to do. There is indeed work to be done. In Titus chapter 3, verse 8, he said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Then in verse 14, he said, "Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." Maintain good works. Each individual has work to do. Every one of us. Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 beginning, Jesus said, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." So Jesus set the example for us by being a servant. We have been saved in order to serve. And as individuals, we have work to do. As Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 6. "And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But with the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Then in verse 18 he says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him." We are set in the body by God, and we have responsibilities as children of God to exercise as his children. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified," now listen, "and meet, or suitable for the master's use." Now, I'm not suitable for the master's use. I'm a vessel in the house of God. Am I suitable for the master's use? And then he said, "Prepared unto every good work." As Paul was saying, First Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 7, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise is profitable but for a little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Practicing godliness. Yes, bodily exercise is profitable. Paul affirms that. Profitable for a little. But godliness. Practicing godliness is profitable to all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And Jesus himself said, "I must work the works of him sent me, while the day and the night come when no man can work." John chapter 9 to verse 4. Obviously, we understand that we must work within the framework of a local congregation. We are members of the body of Christ. We're members of what we refer to as the church universal. But we are part of this local body of Christians who work and worship together here in Red Bay, Alabama. Obviously, we have work that we do that is not planned and designed by a local congregation. But there's work that we as a congregation do in carrying out the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world that each one of us are a part of. And so we fulfill our roles as a congregation in evangelism, in edification, in benevolence. We fulfill our roles in personal work, teaching Bible classes, ministering to those who are sick, those who are in need. That's all part of our work as a part of this local congregation of God's people. And obviously we don't have time to elaborate on all these points, but you understand that we have work to do. And as we exercise ourselves in performing these tasks, we become physically, or rather spiritually, stronger, just as we do when we exercise ourselves, we become physically stronger. Let me suggest another prescription for spiritual health. This one we like. We like to rest, don't we? You understand that periodic rest is essential. Our energies and resources need replenishing. When work has been done, we need some rejuvenation to be able to continue. Somebody said, you need to stop every once in a while and sharpen the saw. Back when I was working on the farm under my dad's supervision, chopping cotton, every once in a while we'd stop and sharpen the hoe. And I liked for my dad to sharpen my hoe and make it good and sharp because it worked a whole lot easier when the hoe was good and sharp. And so we understand that there are times when one needs to take a break. Otherwise, we become exhausted. And we suffer today what they call burnout. You know, they used to say, oh, work and no play make you a dull boy. And so we understand that principle in regard to our physical well-being. Sometimes maybe we understand it too well. We rest too much, maybe. I don't know. But we understand that there is a principle there. Same thing is true in the spiritual realm. Periods of retreat characterize our Lord's ministry. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Come apart and rest a while. That's what Jesus told his disciples. Now, he didn't say rest all the time. He said a while. Some periods of rejuvenation are necessary. We're made such that we need some downtime, as they say. There's value in periodic solitude to meditate, to reflect, to rest. I just began reading an article in Reader's Digest about meditation and the good positive effects that meditation has on a person's well-being. This is well known, and so we function best alternating work and rest, spiritually as well as physically. The Lord designed us to function best within the round of cycles and seasons that alternate between work and rest. Remember, the Lord himself urged his disciples to come apart and rest a while. Then in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, the text says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out. This is Jesus. He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Luke 15, verse 16, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Our Lord himself spent some time, not in what we normally refer to as recreation. Most of the time, the recreation that people engage in today, a lot of it turns into work. This is not what the Lord's talking about. He's talking about ceasing the daily grind and going apart and thinking about spiritual things, spending some time in prayer, talking to God, rejuvenating himself spiritually. Spiritual rest does not mean doing nothing. It means doing something different that will refresh and restore our energy for work. It allows time for quiet prayer and Bible study, releasing anxiety and enjoying the Lord's peace. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Then what happens? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We feed our mind with things that are virtuous, good report, as you continue reading there in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't mean to sit down there and let your mind idle and thinking about nothing. But when you come apart for a little while, you change your routine, you think about good, positive things. You rejuvenate your spiritual well-being. Feed your mind on things that are virtuous, that are of good report. So whatever the context of our usual activities, we simply can't remain spiritually strong without significant periods of restful change. Not only for ourselves, but do we also appreciate the need for our brethren to take a break. We need to understand the value of periodic rest. Then finally, here's another prescription for good spiritual health. It involves a healthy diet. We understand the importance of a good healthy diet in the physical realm. I suppose my diet could be cut quite a bit and I'd still be physically healthy. But we all like to eat. At least I don't know anybody that don't like to eat. From a physical standpoint, we enjoy this part of this prescription, except for the healthy part. We like the diet part. You know, we like the food. But what about the healthy part of the diet? We're talking about from a spiritual standpoint, we need to provide spiritual nourishment. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Understand, the Lord's words are the word of life. John chapter 6. We understand there verses 63, and then in verse 68. It is spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You remember Peter asked the question, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He talked about some of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus asked the disciples, will you also go away? And that's what Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so we grow by virtue of the milk of the word and the meat of the word. Peter refers to it, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning there, verse 2, as newborn babe desire to sit in milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the word is, that the Lord is gracious. And the Hebrew writer talks about the meat of the word. The meat belongs to those who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We understand the physical realm that little babies begin with a diet of milk. But they don't stay on milk. They progress to other types of foods that are harder to digest, but are more profitable for their growth and development. Same thing is true in the spiritual realm. We begin with milk, and we progress to the more weightier matters of the law. We need to avoid spiritual junk food. The Bible refers to sound doctrine, literally healthy teaching. Paul said to Titus, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. The word sound there means healthy. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Sound doctrine. Obviously, the opposite of sound doctrine would be anything which teaches contrary to the gospel. As Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous men, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves of mankind, for menstruators, for liars, for perjured persons, And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. We've got a lot going on in this world today that's contrary to sound doctrine. When you read that list in these verses here, it reads almost like a modern day newspaper. The ungodly, the disobedient, the lawless, the unholy, the profane, the murderers of fathers and mothers, manslayers, whoremongers, those that defile themselves of mankind, menstealers, that's kidnappers, liars, perjured persons. These are all contrary to sound doctrine. And as he continues on, he said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. The gospel is that which will enable us to be strong. We need to refrain from appealing to those who will just tickle our ears. Paul writing, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, tends to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And then he tells him why. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears, and shall turn away the ears of truth, and shall be turned unto fables. I like junk food. I know that too much of it is bad for you, but it tastes good. You know that same principle is true in the spiritual realm. We like to hear those lessons that deal with first principles. Just teaching people what they need to do to obey the gospel of Christ. Praise, repentance, confession, and baptism. Yes, those lessons are necessary. How to become a part of the family of God. But a continual diet of first principles will not help us to grow spiritually. They'll not make us spiritually strong. We'll not be able to ward off the fiery darts of Satan, because we don't have this armor that we're to put on. So we need to avoid those things that just taste good. Just the things that I like to hear. You know, that's what happened to Israel of old. They told the prophets, prophesied unto us smooth things, prophesied deceit. In other words, tell us what we want to hear. We approach our spiritual health sometimes with that same type of an attitude. I want to hear what I want to hear. We have to progress toward the meat of the word. We cannot allow those to just tickle our ears. Tell us what we want to hear. Health-giving nourishment involves both the assimilation of nutritious food and the avoidance of toxic substances. The things that we know we need to avoid because they're bad for us. Some of them will take our lives almost immediately. We know that there's things we need to avoid. The same thing is true in the spiritual way. Be feeding on God's word. Prescription for spiritual health. This prescription is a very simple prescription. A healthy diet that really begins before birth. Periodic rest, that too really begins before birth. Mothers can tell when babies are sleeping in the womb. They tell when they're active. And there's periods of time for both. There's regular exercise. That too begins even before birth. One who's never obeyed the gospel of Christ needs to exercise their mind. They need to learn the first principles. That begins before their birth. They have to understand certain things before they can be born in the family of God by the spiritual birth. All these work together to build a strong immune system. If we follow this prescription, our spiritual health and our progress will be evident. As Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning of verse 11, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thine example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. So we'll be saving not only ourselves, but blessing those around us as well. If you please, we will be infecting them with good health by the kind of life that we live. Now, if we're not as strong and healthy spiritually as we ought to be, or as we know that we should be. The way we can get healthy is to follow the great physician's prescription for spiritual health. If we're overcome by disease or sin, then we can look to him who provides spiritual healing and renewal. The psalmist phrased it this way in Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Spiritual health, vitally important to those of us who are children of God. It may be that there are those in our audience this morning that do not have the kind of spiritual health that they would prefer to have, or they need to have. You have to do it yourself. And my dad used to tell me, and I don't guess I'll forget this till the day I die, when I was in school. And he said, son, you got to study. They can't bore a hole and pour it in. Same thing is true. You can't become a good, righteous, godly individual without some diligent effort on your part. I can't do it without diligent effort on my part. If I want to be healthy spiritually, I've got to put some work into it. Spend some time with the Word of God. If you're in this audience and you realize that you're not a child of God, you can become one today. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, you wouldn't repent of your sins, confess your faith in him. You can be immersed in water for the mission, saying the Lord will then add you to his church, the body of Christ, family of God. If you have obeyed the gospel and you become a child of God and you realize that you have not grown spiritually as you should, you can return to him. You can return to the great physician. He'll forgive you. You can be spiritually healthy once again and you continue to grow and develop as a child of God and be what you ought to be. But if you're not, you need to take the necessary steps to make your life right with him. If you need to make a public acknowledgement of sin, you can do that at this time. Whatever you need, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.